Okay, we're up to Shabbos, Daf 120, Kuf Kuf. Gemara says that Dvarm She'ein B'nei Adam Omdim Aleim Elim Kenichshol Behem Yishna Tachid Echad. People don't learn something unless they misunderstand them. Meaning, you got to stumble on something. The obstacle is the way. You got to have some resistance. Katzin Dielanos. It says he will rise on that day, saying, "I will not be a ruler, and there's no bread." Yisa means another than an oath. Do not raise Tisa. We jump off the Agadata. The Mishnah says, "Matzilin sal malik ikaris." One can rescue a basket full of loaves, and similar from the fire on Shabbos, even if there's food for 100 meals in it, and you could rescue a round cake of dried figs, even though it's very large, and you could rescue a barrel full of wine. So doesn't that go against what we learned before about Tani Shlosh Sudas, three sodas? Lo kasha kam bava lahatzil kam bava lekapel. Differences between when you're coming to save and when you're coming to collect. You're saving a basket. In other words, when you're going out of your way to collect specifically. Gemara has a unique etza on how to save different objects from a fire. She says, Lovesh u'motzi u'poshe, b'choz v'lovesh u'motzi u'poshe. You put the garments on, take them off, run back, so on and so forth. That's the way you do it. Okay, Rishon Menames says, Porsin or al gbe gdil shid tev midal, shachaz ben metor b'nei shu mecharech. You could spread out a goat's hide, a wet goat's hide, over a box, a chest, or a closet that caused fire, because the fire singes and doesn't burn it. And the fire won't burn the wet goat hide, just singes it, and by doing that, you're saving the wooden vessels. Trying to figure out to establish a barrier, osin mechitza b'chol akelim. This also gets in the famous classic areas of grumma and causative damage as well. Gemara has the classic topic of gram kiboy, the cause of, you know, causative extinguishing. Rabbi Yossi Yosser Bechli Cheres Chadashim Malei Amayim She'eni Yechol Mekabla Sa'or Vayim Bakim Mechabim Faleika Ner She'al Gabei Tavla. With regard to a candle that's on top of a board, you shake the board and the candle falls, and if it's extinguished, it's extinguished. Shalosh Anol B'Shocheach Habol B'maniach Nase Basis L'Dar Basis. It becomes a base. If you put it on there, it becomes a base for that which is Usser. A Ner She'achre Hadelet, the candle behind the door, Poseach V'Noi, you open the door normally and close. If the light goes out, it goes out. In kops of kops, a light alav Rav. Rav would curse someone who would do such a thing. Amr levinu Ravach abreidu Rav. Amr levinu Ravach abreidu Ravashi. My time of light. Why would Rav laugh? So ilim mishum the Rav sabr like Rav Yehuda. V'tanik tani like Rav Shim. Mishum the Rav sabr like Rav Yehuda. Kol tani Rav Shim. And Malal, he's going to laugh just because he disagrees. So the Gemara says, Rav Shim, mod dahav by Rav Tartaveo. Mod Rav Shim, seek ratio. Well, you might, where it's certainly going to happen. Amr Rav, posech adam delis, connect him to Shabbos. Person could open up a door opposite a fire on Shabbos. Again, the same back and forth. Just some background ideas. The Durabonim decree of Muktza prohibits not only the actual Muktza from being moved on Shabbos, but also prohibits moving the item on which the Muktza rests, or the Bosses. The item which supports the Muktza can never be moved only if the following conditions are met. One, the Muktza is placed in it before Shabbos entered, and it's there for the entire duration of Banish Moshas, Shabbos 44b. Then the Muktza is purposely placed and left there as opposed to being forgotten or inadvertently left, that's Shabbos 142b. And three, the Muktzah is there alone, and there's no other permissible non-Muktzah item resting there. That's Shabbos 142a. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos and Beitza 2a, the Bosses is only prohibited if one places the Muktzah there before Shabbos, with intention to leave it there for the entire day of Shabbos. And the object where Muktzah is resting is usher to be moved, only if that object is serving the purpose of supporting the Muktzah item. But if the Muktzah item is serving the purpose of the object and where it's placed, then the object beneath is Muktzah. It's not considered a Bosses. Just some deeper dive of ours here. According to Rav Huna, you're permitted to take as much food as you want from a burning house in Shabbos if you do so in a manner of matzil, by carrying the food in one basket or container into a chotzer. But you're not permitted to save as much food as you want in the manner of makapel. When he saves food through makapel, he can only carry as much food as he needs for three meals. So the Gemara says there's a third way to carry food to a burning house, by spreading out a talus and placing the food items in it. And the Gemara includes that similar to makapel, when he carries as much food as he wants in that manner. What is makapel? I went to Makapel and putting all the food into a talus. Tosfos explains that Makapel is taking out food in individual containers one after the other, and that differs from using a talus to save food, because one places multiple containers into a single talus and then takes them all out in one act by carrying the talus. Rashi earlier explains that Makapel refers to placing many containers into one large container, and that is what's forbidden according to Rav Huna. Tosfos questions Rashi's pshat. According to Rashi, it seems to be no difference between Makapel and using a talus to carry out all the containers of food, since both involve placing many containers into one larger one and carrying it out. So why should a talus be more mutter than makapel? So the Ramban answers that according to Rashi, in the case of the talus, one empties the container of food into the talus and carries the talus full of food without the containers themselves. That's mutter. Makapel, the first, placing the containers themselves into one large container and carrying them out together. The Mishnah says that one who wants to save us from his house that's on fire, he can announce, "Boi batzilu lechem," come and save for yourselves. However, one wants to save his clothing from the fire, the Mishnah says he can announce, "Bo batzilu imi," come save with me. Why is the declaration for saving food definitely the declaration for saving clothes? So the Gemara says the maximum amount of food that is fit for the owner is enough food for three meals. Any more food than that is not going to be fit for him. On the other hand, he's not as limited with regard to the clothing as he is with regard to food, since he can wear many articles of clothing throughout the day. So how does the Gemara's answer address the differences in words that he could use to announce to others to help him save his items? Lachem for food and imi for clothing. So the Bar Tanur explains that with regard to food, any person who comes to save food from the burning house could save only enough for his own Shabbos needs, which is a maximum three meals worth of food. Therefore, the amount that one may save depends on how many meals he's already eaten. For example, he already ate one meal, he had only two meals left. So consequently, the amount of food that any person may save is subjective based on what that person has already eaten. Therefore, the owner of the food wants to save his food from the fire announces, "Bo v'hitzilu lachem," come and save for yourselves. Because each person could save only enough food for his own Shabbos needs. Now Rabbi Kiva Eger points out that the Bar Tanur's approach contradicts the assertion of the Ram that other people may save from the fire as much food as they want, and only the owner is limited to saving three meals. Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests instead that with regard to food, since the owner may take the amount that he needs for that day and no more, he makes the rest of the food hefker since he has no other choice. Therefore, he says lachem. The Rishalmi, cited by the Rashba on the Mishnah, explained that food and clothing may be saved by others because food is normally fed to guests and clothing is normally loaned to others. The Gemara said you're allowed to open and close a door that has a candle affixed to it. As long as there's no psik reisha, the candle will become extinguished as a result. So why is the Gemara not bothered by the problem that the door is a basis l'davar aser? The Gemara earlier in 47a teaches the flame of a lit candle to davar aser, and it's an object forbidden to be handled on Shabbos, and the door that supports the candle is a basis l'davar aser. So Tosfos offers three answers. First, Tosfos suggests that the opening and closing a door is not considered active moving muktzah, so the door is attached and part of a larger object of the house. Moving the door is not considered moving a forbidden object because only part of the object is being moved. The entire object is not being moved from the place. Tosfos says that a door cannot become a bus's toilet candle because the door is part of the house and the house cannot become subordinate to the candle. And a bus to find something that supports and serves the muktzah, the entire house cannot be said to be serving the flame. And Tosfos explains that we find the Gemara that an object does not become a basis for a forbidden object unless a person purposely leaves the forbidden object on top of it. Tosfos suggests that perhaps the lit candle was left in the door unintentionally, and someone intended to remove it from there before Shabbos, but forgot, and therefore the door does not become a basis l'davar aser.